You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's Pride Month, and there has been extensive coverage of events in the rainbow community recently. I spoke with Kyle Tan from the Professional Association for Transgender Health Aotearoa about the landscape of accessibility to healthcare and mental health of Aotearoa's transgender youth. I started by asking what the lay of the land is for this community in our country.
When you're talking about trans youth specifically, I guess you have to refer to the Youth 19 survey, which is done by the Adolescent Health Research Group, University of Auckland. At least from overseas studies, like, we can see that trans youth actually fare worse in terms of mental health and well-being when compared to other LGBTQ youth. Yeah, and I personally don't like to focus too much on the negative mental health stats. We do need to focus on the social determinants of, you know, like family and the environment that allow trans youth to thrive. It's about provision of those, about how we can do better so that we can contribute better mental health and well-being.
And to go further with that, what sort of work is the Professional Association for Transgender Health in Aotearoa engaging in? What mitigating measures are there?
If you're aware of the, you know, a lot of the progressive movement last year, you know, we have the conversion practice bill, we have the birthday marriage relationship registration bill. We have the more recent news about the budget announcement, the 2.1 million over 4 years to improve trans and non-binary access to primary healthcare services. So PETA, the Professional Association of Trans Health Aotearoa, has been actively involved in, you know, we write submissions, we talk to the government agencies around how we can make sure that the transgender people voices are reflected in these bills and about, you know, the harm for, let's say, conversion practices can bring to the group. Yeah, so we've been actively engaging with that. And I'm not sure whether you're aware, that's actually quite there's a harmful sort of a conference that's going on in Nelson that's happening in August. So PETA has been trying to go back and forth with the New Zealand Association of Counselors, the New Zealand Psychologist Society, to talk about how this anti-trans conference that's happening in August, about how that doesn't really align with the guidelines that set out by the PETA and also the health professional associated that I just mentioned.
So you touched on kind of factors and social determinants. What kind of things are at play? Is it mostly family? Is it where you're born?
I guess, like, if you're interested in youth specifically, then we probably have to look at schools, about how school can provide, as a gender-neutral bathroom that can allow trans youth or trans and non-binary to feel really belong in terms of, you know, their representation are being included and being seen in those spaces. Family, you know, the Maori perspective of family, we talk about biological family and also the extended family. And at least in my study, I tend to find that trans youth mostly talk about family in more of the broader sense, like we chose our own family and we feel connected with the people we feel like that are included in our family or wider funnel. And of course, we talk about discriminations. There's actually another project I'm working on. It's the Identify project that's being done by Dr. John Penalty up at University of Auckland. So his one looks more at school belongingness and also look at, he recently wrote an article about the conversion practices, harm on trans youth mental health. I was really surprised when I go through that survey finding there was a lot of trans youth that were very outspoken about the harm of conversion practices they've done to them. So yeah, I guess it's, you know, you start from family, the school, and also the environment, and how providing the affirming environment at each level really helps with boosting trans youth mental health.
In the work that your group has done on trans mental health, what are the solutions that the community themselves want to see, rather than academics, rather than allies, people in power? What is the community asking for?
We were interested in seeing the legislation change for trans youth to access healthcare in a more accessible manner. I talk about primary health care, and we talk about the birthday marriage relationship registration bill, which is about changing gender marker for birth certificate. So that was really important for our trans community. But I guess, like, if I have to name something that wasn't really quite affirming, at least that happened last year and this year, was that PIRA Healthy Future bill. A lot of trans community was trying to reflect the government about the importance of naming trans people as part of the priority group in one of the health, to have a rainbow health strategy as part of the bill. But then that was kind of got rejected by the committee, saying that you know, that's, we can't have too many priority focus in that bill itself. So I think the PIRA Healthy Future bill only ended up writing about health strategy for Maori, Pacific and disabled people. So that was something that we, the trans community, have been really actively engaging in trying to bring that attention to the government, but that was kind of like brushed off. You know, we would still feel quite fortunate, you know, because of the budget announcement that was announced early this year. The 2.1 million was a huge deal for us.
Yeah, and in terms of that Paiona bill, is there evidence from overseas, from kind of, I guess, from talking to the community themselves, you say that they want that. Mm-hmm. Is there evidence that explicitly naming transgender communities and lifting them up to make sure that they get the services that they deserve and that they need, is there evidence that that works? I mean, it sounds logical that that would work, but is there evidence?
I haven't really seen any other particular evidence, but I guess there was one comment I really like about, this is probably going away from the topic, but you know, when we talk about Maori health, we're also talking about Maori sitting on the table making those decisions. So in this context, it's like not necessarily seeing the outcome that would necessarily benefit trans people, but we need to have at least transgender people being sitting on the table making those decisions. And I think having trans health strategy with trans people leading the conversation, that's actually what's more important at this stage.
Definitely. And that leads wonderfully into my next question, because historically, transgender people have been erased from the conversation, and that has poor outcomes for every community. Yeah. How can allies of the community support efforts to improve the situation, but without speaking over trans voices and taking up space?
Yeah, that's a very interesting conversation. I'm speaking from a healthcare point of view, I guess, because that's where I'm coming from, and especially from a psychological point of view. So we have this concept called cultural competency versus cultural safety. And you were mentioning about allies not speaking over. That's actually more fitting to the definition of cultural safety, because all the time when we talk about cultural competency, it's about people learning specific needs of transgender people. And when they feel like, you know, let's say done a workshop, they've done the training, and they feel like, oh, I know so much about trans health. Now I can go and speak for trans people. You know, I can deliver this service for trans people. But sometimes it's not doing, let's say, a certain thing about trans health that makes you knowledgeable about trans health. It's about being able to provide a safe space for trans people to express their need. That's more important. And that doesn't necessarily just sit with healthcare settings, you know, in community organization initiative or services that we provide. You know, let's say from an Asian point of view, it's, you know, you go to an Asian health service, you also need to be able to provide a cultural safe space for people to come and access the service. So, you know, with our community, because we've received so much attack from, you know, all over the place, the media, people who are anti-trans. Sometimes we have to think about where we go to access service. So having those allies that reflect, that provide that environment where we feel like it's safe for us to access those services, that's actually very important.
Is there anything that you think that the public should be aware of that's going on in the space, or just anything you want to say?
Because there's so many negative media attention lately about trans people, especially in regards to sports participations. So that kind of really worries me. And I also sat through the hearing for submission for conversion practices. And as a rainbow person myself, when I sat through, there's a lot of negative narrative about trans identities, or even broader rainbow identity. That's actually a lot of trauma that you can experience as a rainbow person sitting at that space. So yeah, it's important for the people around us, like you say, to be allies and be able to see through some of these traumatic experiences that we've experienced, and being able to offer some guidance, being able to offer listening ears, and also stand up for us as well. You know, when this is something that's, I guess like the term, let's say racism is more familiar, but another term that I'm kind of advocating for usage in this country is cisgenderism, where we talk about society only reinforces cisgender, the male and female kind of representation in our daily life. I think it's important that we challenge incidents where we think that we can kind of interpret that as cisgenderism.
That was me speaking with Kyle Tan from the Professional Association for Transgender Health Aotearoa, with mental health and general health strategies for transgender communities in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.